Isn't this a sports show?
It's a wet and wild wacky Wednesday.
Woo!
Almost entirely.
Don't you just love wet and wild Wednesdays?
Wet and Wild Wednesdays starring Warley Warlin.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Hashtag more Warley Warlin is how you make your statements.
Hashtag
now.
Wet and Wild.
Hashtag wet and
hashtag
wild.
Wet and wild.
Hashtag wet and wild Charlie Carlin.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Even when I taste a little bit of sweet tea, I just, whoa, way too much. Now that you guys... Now you guys know. Now you guys know about me. I don't know what was so funny there.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Obviously, that was one of the times I wasn't listening. Mark that.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Only the wettest and wildest Wednesday here.
That's a good intro.
It is really good.
I'll give you that, Beards.
It's really good production. Beard has been really on top of the production work, really throughout the life of this show, I dare say. But every week there's a new little morsel that Beards sprinkles over us as the benevolent god that he is. I'm Josh Briscoe, as always. Beards McFly producing, as always. But Charlie here, as always, for Wednesdays. If you're new to the Wednesday show, it is wet, it is wild, it is wacky. It's Warley Warlin.
It is.
Charlie, what did you do for Halloween last night? This isn't really how I wanted to start the show, but it feels like what I wanted to say just then, so we're going to go all
over. Okay.
With it.
Well, you know, that's kind of how your show goes all
that's
every day.
That's also a great point.
But I worked Chiefs Kingdom last night.
Yep.
At the Mission location at Hy-Vee.
Who was the guest?
Jan Stinnerud. So, Hall of Fame kicker, Super Bowl winner.
Not an active
Chief because it's a short week, and for some reason, the Chiefs feel like that they don't want to give us a current player short week.
Roy Miller has been really busy lately.
Right, yeah.
Not being a healthy scratch, okay?
Yeah.
Sure.
And so basically Mitch just kind of tosses up a little tiny fact and then Jan talks for 5 minutes and gives a story.
But perfect.
It was good. It was Kingdom was good, and then I got back here and then I met up with some friends. I dressed up as an inmate at the Leavenworth Penitentiary.
Nice, okay, very good.
And had some... handcuffs on me the whole time, and don't ask me where. Oh God, don't ask me where I got the outfit or the jumpsuit. I guess. Don't worry, I haven't been locked up before.
Nope, I'm gonna ask.
It's just from a friend that he told.
Oh,
I
it's
had
a
to
friend's
ask him,
inmate.
I had to
costume,
ask him.
Costume, sure. Okay.
I had to ask him though when he got it or when he said he had it, if he's been a resident at that
I don't
facility
think you
before.
Take the jumpsuit with you like a little souvenir. I think they keep those. I think.
Would you know?
I would think they would reuse the jumpsuits.
Sure. But, you know, I just had to ask him.
Sure.
And he said that no, he has not been locked up.
Did you just have handcuffs laying around?
He had the handcuffs in, like, the pocket of the costume. So it was a good costume, last minute thing. Obviously, you know, I'm the worst procrastinator in the world. So.
Yeah, that's true.
So when he said that he had this extra costume, I was like, sure.
You're like, lock me up, buddy. Let's do it.
Yeah. Exactly. What did you do for Halloween? What did you dress up as?
I just wore my spooky skeleton shirt that I wore to do the show yesterday. I wore that and I watched 6 episodes of Stranger Things with my housemates. We watched the first 3 on, I think, Friday or Saturday night. And then we watched the rest of them last night.
You better not spoil any of that. I haven't watched any of it yet. I've been too busy and haven't been
sure,
able to.
Sure, yeah, I know, I understand. And actually, in all seriousness,
so
I hate...
Don't.
I hate not only when people spoil stuff, but they're like, this isn't going to spoil anything, but I hate that. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually a safe person to know things. In fairness, this is very small. This isn't going to spoil anything, but it isn't. I did want to share this today. Whenever everyone had been aliens the whole time, I thought that was too far. That's all I'm going to say. Not a spoiler, though. Charlie is afraid that I just ruined the series. No, it was...
It's a good thing that was one of the times I wasn't listening.
When it turned out that Hopper and Eleven had been the same person whole time, I thought that was really messed up. What is that squeaking sound? Did that come through? Was that Charlie's
jacket?
That
was Charlie's jacket, I think.
Yeah. Hilarious. Yeah. No, but it was good. I think I liked season 1 better just because it was a new story instead of a continuation of the story. They did some really good things. There was one episode in the, of the nine that I didn't care for at all.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Okay, right. No, nobody cared for that episode.
Okay, is that common knowledge?
Yeah. I don't know if it's common knowledge or not, but just, it's whatever.
It's kind of tangential. It's kind of it's a side storyline that went on for too long.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I didn't even say what episode it was, Charlie. I really do not want to spoil anything for you.
Better not.
Other than E.T. having a cameo in episode 6 was, I thought, really over the top.
Wow.
Yeah, it just felt like a lot of fan service at that point.
Bringing E.T. back.
Yeah. When they had a little kid dressed up as it consumed several different children, I thought that was really messed up. It was really weird. Cross-referencing, I thought that was sort of strange.
Did you see any good clown costumes like that inspired by It?
Well,
I saw
LeBron's.
Some on the internet, and yeah. There were some creepy ones out there.
There was a guy, I went down, so on...
Did a good job on that.
On Saturday night, I think, I went down to Power and Light, and because I was already down in the downtown area to see one of my friends in a Dracula-based play. That was interesting.
Trying to picture you and the Power and Light crowd.
Yeah, well, so it's weird. It's super definitely weird. I was wearing the same spooky skeleton T-shirt.
Yeah.
But I went out there, and I don't think... I was with a group of three people. It was me and Renee and then our friend who was playing Dracula in this play. We all went down there after the show. And I don't think any of us purchased anything. I don't think any of us bought a drink. I don't think any of us... We went into one of the little bars that was not charging a cover. Mm. We walked in. It was like, oh, every cocktail is $57. I'm out. Thanks.
Pretty much.
I'm going to pass on that one. I don't need to rave with that person in a... It was really weird. There was this one guy in wherever it was we went into. I genuinely don't even remember. There was one guy though on this like light up floor or whatever. He was in an orange jumpsuit and he kept trying to handcuff himself to other people while they were dancing. It was
so
super.
Like
and then he started.
Okay.
Then he started just like unzipping his jumpsuit and trying. He was very red faced. It was weird.
It
I don't
an
know.
Orange jumpsuit.
Yeah, it was
prison,
an orange jumpsuit.
Kind of.
He kept trying to handcuff himself to other people. He was just very. His face was very flushed. I don't know if it was a part of his costume or not. I really couldn't tell.
Charlie, weren't you dressed as an inmate?
I don't know. The guy you're talking about sounds like a stud, though. Looks like he pulled off the costume really well.
That's such a coincidence.
Yeah, I know.
Think he was Where
crazy.
Were you last night?
I think this
crazy.
Guy was assaulting people, actually.
Yeah.
Technically.
It got wet and wild.
Gross. Gross, gross, gross. That's a gross one. Beards' face is buried into his hands currently, and I've never seen Beards this upset. I've never seen Beards this aghast at anything, ever.
Oh, that's been marked.
Yeah.
I hope so.
We figured as much.
Yeah.
All right. Chiefs show? Yeah.
Chiefs show? Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're 6-2 now?
Well, listen, we talked about the win yesterday, and yesterday's show was super weird, because I spent most of the time distracted by the ESPN shows that were doing...
I was listening.
We're addressing it, yeah.
And I think we need to turn these TVs off during your show or something.
Yeah, we probably should.
Well, you also have the attention span of, like, a 5-year-old... or something, and like it,
yeah.
It's just like I could snap over here and you'd forget what you were saying.
Yeah, that's all actually true. I think the two biggest detriments to me ever having like an actual radio career, I think, or I have three greatest detriments. Number one, I have a bad memory. Number two, I'm easily distracted. And number three, I'm not good at radio. So I think those are all kind of like 33% each. Like,
yeah.
What's the thing that is going to really cut off my future,
mm-hmm.
Right? Kind of nip it at the bud.
It's a good start.
Yeah, I just feel like those are all equal problems at this point.
Also, he's not that likable.
I was going to say that next, actually. Yeah. I was going to say, also, I'm not very likable.
You have
alienate,
a squeaky voice for radio.
Right, I do. I have a bad radio voice.
A girly laugh.
I definitely have a very girly laugh. I alienate
people. Don't like hipsters.
I alienate people that do like what I used to do, because this is going to end up on like the Chiefs podcast feed, and so someone's going to be like, "Hey man, you really zigged when we were zagging on this Chiefs stuff." The title of this podcast was like Chiefs mishandling Tamba Hali's return ? And the first 15 minutes were about what you did for Halloween. That doesn't make any sense. So. You know, I just all problems. One of them is that I'm distracted too easily. Like, I just saw the Thor Ragnarok trailer show up on TV a little bit ago, and I've been thinking about it since I saw it, even though that was like a minute ago. But I've still been talking.
Is that going to be good? I'm a little worried about it.
The reviews are amazing. We did this yesterday. It has like a 92%.
Apparently Charlie wasn't listening.
Watched.
I didn't listen to the whole show because I was preparing for Kingdom.
He had the show on the whole time, but he only caught like 7 minutes of it.
Yeah, because you know I got tired of it.
All right, so I do want to talk about Tom Bahali, actually. I know the Wet and Wild Wacky Wednesdays are always going to have the hardest time being sports-centered, and I'm okay with that.
Being consistent in its sports takes as well.
Yeah, I'm very okay with that fact about these Wednesday shows. I know that some people listening are going to hate it, but that's just how the show's going to work. Tom Bahali was activated off of the physically unable to perform list today, but nothing has gotten less confusing throughout today. We have Andy Reid talking about Tom Bahali. This was sort of the first moment from today whenever we realized that things were still very confusing. Listen to what Andy Reid said whenever he was asked about Tom Bahali's return to the team.
Well, nothing, there's nothing been done there, so.
But he's practiced.
Not this minute, no. I can't tell you that, no.
So he's not practicing?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what's going on, to be honest with you, but when I walked out here, he was not practicing, no.
That's the first time I've heard that. I don't know anything now.
Welcome to the weekly Andy Reid press conference.
Head coach Andy Reid says, in case you missed it, I'm not sure exactly what's going on, to be honest with you, but when I walked out here, he was not practicing, no.
And he was there was 5 minutes left to the media to go watch practice, and Tomba was not on the practice field.
If he had said that about literally any player, I would have been like, what? What do you mean you don't know? But about the guy that's eventually going to be like a Ring of Honor candidate in Arrowhead, and a guy who we expected, as of a couple weeks ago, we expected to return and to play some sort of substantial role in the second half for this Chiefs team, a Chiefs team that's struggled up until last week to get pressure consistently, and they started getting more creative last week. But a guy that it really seemed like had a fit on this team, and a guy that also has been the point of some public questioning since his injury, since really throughout a year ago, halfway through last season, he started becoming a point of conversation. For Andy Reid to say, I don't know what's going on right now, is bonkers. Mm-hmm. And later on he said, yeah, I'm not even dealing with that. Brett Veach is dealing with all that. I don't know when I told Adam Teicher that. I don't know exactly what the situation is and what's going on right now. So that's between Brett and Tomba and his representatives.
It was very strange.
That's not really a GM thing.
No.
Tomba is active off the pup list, although I guess someone a little while ago said that nothing has been like officially put out there as far as an official move.
Because
they would have to cut
anything.
Somebody.
Right.
They would have to cut somebody or play somebody else on an injured reserve. But Schefter said earlier today that he was coming off the pup list. But once it gets past being activated off of the pup list, it is not between Brett Veach and Tom Bahali and Holly's representatives. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes about getting him on the practice field, and when, if at all, does Tom Bahali play? But it's really bonkers.
This is why he gives an injury update before each press conference. Like we all thought that Tomba was going to be in that somewhere.
Yeah,
like Tomba's been activated off the pup list. This other move has happened, but he said nothing about that. And so I'm glad that Teicher asked that question immediately, and we got that answer. Which, you know, I don't know about it.
It's not a hard thing to clarify either. To say, Tom is back from the pup list.
Right.
We're bringing him slowly. You can imagine Andy Reid saying, yeah, Tom Bahali's been activated from the pup list. We're going to bring him back real slowly. No real timetable for when he's going to be ready to go. Can't tell you anything else about that. But he's back with us. He'll start practicing tomorrow or whatever. None of that happened.
It's not quite Belichick-y in the way that he's trying to disguise everything.
Yeah.
It's very, I wouldn't say he's practicing, but I don't know if he's not practicing.
I mean, you're the head coach. You need to know these things.
Yeah, and what is bizarre to me is it's not like we're being secretive with our secret weapon. Like, Therese Paylor tweeted out earlier today. He said, no Tom Bahali at Chiefs practice today. He was at the facility, though. I did see him walking into the locker room. Fascinating. It sounds, and this is, I don't know anything on this situation more than what I've already told you. But it seems like more of a, not a cover-up, and not a vague-on-purpose thing for the sake of some sort of competitive advantage. It seems like Andy Reid is saying, there's so much else happening here that I'm not even going to answer questions about it. I told Brett that I don't want to know. I told Brett that he can figure out when Tom is going to be back, and he just lets me know whenever that's going to happen. But Andy Reid doesn't strike me as that kind of head coach for most of these situations. Now, I think he said something last week about the trade deadline, saying, oh, that's up to Brett, or some, I don't know, every head coach says that up at the trade deadline, is, oh, the GM's working on that. There are some things where I really do believe that Andy Reid doesn't want to do the legwork on some of the little things. I totally get that. He is the de facto head of the hierarchy underneath Clark Hunt, and he delegates. That's what good leaders tend to do. Reid delegating some roster turnover stuff doesn't surprise me. Reid not knowing if Tamba Hali is going to practice or not after being not activated maybe from the pup list is confusing to me. And Charlie, you were out there. I'm just wondering, was there any other conversations going around the practice facility as people were trying to piece those together? Was everybody as confused as we are?
Pretty much everybody was just as confused, and that's why everyone was so eager to go out to the practice field. And it was weird that the media usually gets like 10 to 20 minutes, and they only got 5 today. I don't know if they were just late or behind or whatever.
I'm not sure why, but
everybody, and that's why everybody rushed out there to see if Tombo was going to be on the practice field, and he wasn't. Now we don't know if he was on the practice field after that media session or not, but it'd be even weirder if they did that and like had him not practice for the first 5 minutes and then practice like that. So you wouldn't think they would do that, but
no, and I don't think
after Reed's comments, I'm not surprised because that's just so weird.
I don't think he could practice today because he hasn't been officially activated from the pup
list. I guess
that's
true. Yeah, there hasn't been any official news yet or official.
But he was in the facility. He was in the locker room. Like the official report out of practice today, Matt Derrick just tweeted this 10 seconds ago, saying that Dee Ford and Albert Wilson did not practice as expected. Justin Houston knee and Demetrius Harris shoulder were limited. Nothing here about Demetrius Harris's hand injuries, that he was born without them. That's upsetting that he's not on the injury report with that yet, but I digress. Also, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif practiced in full today, which is good for an offensive line that's going to have their hands full. But it's just a really bizarre... It's a really bizarre story where I don't find myself very often going, hey, Andy Reid, what are you doing? You seem ill-informed. Andy Reid doesn't seem ill-informed particularly often whenever it comes to matters of his own team. And I know that he doesn't want to get his hands super dirty with the defense. I know that he doesn't want to have his hands super dirty with all of the roster turnover. I really think that he trusts Brett Veach to do a bunch of that sort of medial work, even with an expanded role where he really is above Veach in the hierarchy. But it's really odd. It's also at a place, again, we mentioned that D4, they talked about an aggravated back injury. That sounds like something that could keep Dee Ford out for a little while. And aggravated back injuries don't go away throughout the course of an NFL season.
I can't remember. Has he dealt with back injuries before?
Apparently, because they wouldn't have said aggravated if he hadn't.
That's true.
Last year, his main thing was a hamstring, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And that was the thing that sort of hampering him throughout the year. It made it confusing to tell if he was just better on the right side of the defense or if he was hampered by the injury whenever he flipped back to the left side, or I guess vice versa, actually, because it's up against the right tackle versus the left tackle. That made it hard to gauge that fairly, but especially now with Ford being a real question mark with his back injury, with the production problems the Chiefs have at pass rusher, where Tano Passanio ended up getting on the field for a few snaps at the end of the game on Monday night, because man, Frank Zombo can't play. Frank Zombo might be a better run defender than Dee Ford is, but he cannot get to the passer. Right, yeah. There's like a huge portion of the NFL is a better pass rusher than Frank Zombo is. It's just he's just not that good on an NFL scale.
I was talking about Dee Ford's run defense.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
If you could combine Frank Zombo and Dee Ford and then only take their good halves, you would have one good
very
outside
good
linebacker, and then you would have like me. Mm-hmm. As far as my ability to do anything on NFL level.
Are those two combined Tano Passanio?
Well, but we don't know what Tano Passanio, what genes he got from each parent.
But yeah.
If we've made Dee Ford and Frank Zombo Tano Passanio's parents, which I think we just did. We don't know how the genealogy got passed through just yet. He might just have a future as a sports talk radio host instead of a dominating outside linebacker. We have audio from Pastrnak today, right? So he talked to you, and you can set it up here, but really quick on Pastrnak, what we saw from him on Monday night, it was obviously very late in the game. It was after Dee Ford had been hurt. It was getting Frank Zombo out of there, I think. I think he was in there for Zombo. I think Houston was also on the field as Pastrnak came in. I saw him moving his guy. I saw him moving the tackle, but he wasn't really moving him in a particular direction. That I just sort of saw like a reckless beast.
Yeah, we kind of got a decent look at him, but and not in this clip, but he talked a lot about how he's still learning a lot of the technique stuff, and because he had that position switch technically,
right? And that makes sense. I can see that.
So he's still like Andy Reid told him to just keep watching the veterans and keep watching and keep practicing and developing at the on the practice squad, and you'll get your shot. Tanya Pastrnak, he just got one of his first looks on defense on Monday night with his 10. I'd say quality snaps. I mean, yeah, they were at the end of the game and everything. Mm-hmm. And he talked about that little in-game experience that he got.
I mean, I showed I could have a motor. So, you know, you never want to kind of films like your time to present yourself. It's like building a resume for yourself. So I felt like I put a good little bit out and showed some of my technique I've learned and just got my feet wet. So it was awesome.
Not much there, but still just like he kind of – He felt like he did a pretty decent job, and I felt like we didn't really see enough. But for the 10 snaps that he got, I thought we saw how much of an athlete he is, like you said. Like,
and I guess that at this point we're just really rooting for like a Dontari Poe situation, where it's like where people are saying, man, he did not get good coaching in college, and then now for Pastrnak he's getting switched to a different position. Where he's getting moved to an outside linebacker spot that he didn't play very often at Villanova. Mm-hmm. And Villanova and Memphis seem to have some of the same sort of like mid-majory feels for a college football program. Where, yeah, the training that he's going to be getting on an NFL level is going to be far beyond what he got at Villanova. Although I feel like, I was going to say the ghost of Frank Bowl is going to come and like punch me in the side of the head, but like, he's not dead, so I don't want to be a ghost. I guess just Frank Bull would just like come down from the ceiling, smack me in the side of the head, and spring back up after I've now trashed Villanova. I haven't trashed Villanova. They're not. You don't hear a lot of stories about how Villanova's just churning out NFL talent.
No, not really.
And it's also, this is something where I'm willing to give it time, because the Chiefs' 2017 draft very much seemed to be a draft for the future, going up to get Patrick Mahomes. And then the next pick being Tanner Pastrnak before trading up to go get Kareem Hunt, obviously, which ended up working out for this year. We're not going to see Pat Mahomes take a snap this year unless there's a huge blowout or if Alex Smith gets hurt.
Look at the tear that just came down Josh's eye.
Oh, God. We're not going to see Patty until next year.
Patty.
But we're also not going to see Tanner Pastrnak. We haven't seen Tanner Pastrnak for half of the season, and the second half is up in the air. There are a lot of guys who have already been quality contributors at the spot that the Chiefs ended up taking Pastrnak. So I'm not going to sit here and start the gas bag thing of, how did you pass on your blah, 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 that you could have used this year in lieu for Tanner Pastrnak, a guy who's not seen the field yet? One thing it does make me wonder a little bit is how truly did the Chiefs see themselves as contenders in 2017 before this year? Mm-hmm. I think if they thought that they were going to be here, I think there's a really good chance they might have tried to get the quarterback later. I think there's a really good chance they definitely would not have taken Tanner Pastrnak, would have tried for a more complete product. I'm glad that they went the way they did with Mahomes, obviously, because you have to have a future at quarterback. Otherwise, you end up trading a bunch of picks for A.J. McCarron or Jimmy Garoppolo.
Almost trading a bunch of picks.
I didn't realize that happened until earlier today, by the way.
Browns. Oh, it's so good.
They didn't turn in their sheet or whatever.
Well, then
I saw another story
that the Browns actually sent the signed paperwork to the Bengals for the Bengals to sign and then send to the NFL, but the Bengals just signed like their own copy and sent that to the NFL. So maybe the Bengals also screwed it up. The Browns dodged a bullet. It's just
Ohio. That state just kind of is. You're right.
So. Danny Klingscale told me after the game last week, he might have said this, and I swear, Beards, if you ever break me again, if you ever give me the breakdown again, I'm going to flip you off, and it's going to get on Facebook, and I'm going to have to apologize. I'm going to do it behind the console.
Ooh, that was aggressive.
Danny might have said this in confidence, but I'm going to go ahead and betray this confidence for the sake of making this a matter of public record. He said that if Patrick Mahomes is ever as good as Deshaun Watson, he will eat a hat of my choosing. So, by the way,
I do remember that.
That hat will be Beards' hat because it is gross and I hate
no, this is
it
an ice cream hat. I've got a gross one.
Oh, that's true. We have a grosser Beards hat. So, yeah, so keep that on the record.
This one's nice.
It's not. It's just a Royals hat.
It's not dirty.
Fine. It kind of looks like it should be. It's also blue. It doesn't go with what you're wearing. It's fine. It's okay. I'll give you fashion tips later. But I'm willing to say that if AJ McCarron ever proves himself to be worth the first overall pick in the second round and the first overall pick in the third round and up this upcoming draft, then I will eat a hat of Danny Klingsteel's choosing, which he'll have to be informed of because I was not listening right now. But someone can tell Danny later that we now have a bet. We have an AJ McCarron versus Patrick Mahomes bet, but not really. I digress. The AJ McCarron trade would have been hilarious. This is funnier, and I also feel better for Cleveland because it would have been so sad to see them actually give up that much for a quarterback that would go to Cleveland and do absolutely bleeping nothing. If you have anything that you'd like to get off your chest, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, as always, we're an open book. Don't call the phones because they don't work half the time. The other half of the time, we ignore them fully. But you can tweet all of us. I'm at JB Briscoe. Charlie is at C Carlin KC. Beards is at Beards McFly. Or you can see all of us, all three of us, at any given moment. You can see all of us on the Facebook page, ESPN Kansas City's Facebook page, facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City. You can hit the comment section where right now Clinton has said, "Sup, squad fam. Puff, puff, pass rush." Also, Hunter has said, "What about Tom Bahali?" I think we covered that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, good job. Gold star on that segment. What the hell happened?
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Pretty soon, catch us on YouTube TV
with Joshua Briscoe.
God, I would love that. I'd love that a lot. I would love for YouTube to slide in and say, "Hey, guys, listen, we love what you're doing. Here's a lot of money and a ticket to L.A. with a fully furnished apartment that all three of you have to share."
Woo! Oh, boy.
And that's the moment. That's the moment when it all crumbles.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Right after we went to break, Beards promised us that there was a really good story that he had found. That was it football related? Because we're kind of doing a football hour, so we talked to KU in a little bit. And he went, "Well, it's about Papa John's." And I know this story, and I love this story. Beards, please do us the courtesy of explaining the story to us. I will supplement it as needed. This story is amazing.
I will read the first paragraph of this article,
okay,
and then we will go from there.
Great.
Do we have a Beards reads the internet?
Ooh. No.
Liner? Yeah, I'll hum a nice little lullaby as you.
Okay.
Do.
Papa John's International Inc. founder John, last name, is going after NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, saying weak handling of the league's national anthem controversy has hammered sales of pizza.
I now pivot to Forbes.
Nothing worse than hammering sales of pizza.
I now pivot to Forbes. You've heard it that way. Now listen this way and tell me if you would ever get to that conclusion. The conclusion of the story is that Papa John's is being hurt by the NFL. Papa John's official pizza partner of the NFL or whatever the bleep that means. Papa John's is claiming that the NFL's weak handling of the anthem debacle is costing them money. Okay? Now listen to the reasons that that has been claimed and tell me if this makes sense to you mathematically.
Shoot. Let's hear it.
The net worth of John Shatner, founder and CEO of pizza chain Papa John's, fell $70 million in less than 24 hours after the company released its third quarter financial report on Tuesday afternoon. The business beat estimates on earnings and revenue, but it lowered guidance on same-store sales for the coming period. Investors were not pleased with that news and sent shares down 11% through 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. The stock is now trading at just over $60 per share. This now, one casualty of the slide was Shatner's personal fortune. The 55-year-old, who owns roughly 25% of Papa John's, is now worth $801 million,
only
Forbes estimates.
Peyton Manning owns the rest.
So now here's this paragraph. Shatner blames part of the downturn on the National Football League, which has faced turbulence amid widespread national anthem protests in the past year. Quote, the NFL's hurt us by not resolving the current debacle, he said on a conference call on Wednesday. Papa John's is the league's official pizza sponsor. So Papa John's sales were down for the third quarter. People sold their shares because it was going bye-bye. It was going poorly. So they started selling their shares, which cost this guy lots of money.
Well, listen to this. A tweet from Bill Barnwell.
We've got more. This pizza. This story has more layers than pizza.
It's
Go
a
ahead.
Scandal.
From Bill Barnwell. I'm not sure who he is, but he works for ESPN. Idea that
you don't know who Barnwell? He's very good.
Oh, okay.
Thumbs up on Bill Barnwell.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Cool. Idea that Papa John's revenue / earnings fell because of Anthem protests is ridiculous. Steady decline long before peak protest day, September 24th, and it shows a picture of their decline and how, yes, it did go down way before the protests even started.
Yeah, listen, this article should be like, Papa John's founder blames millennials for not ordering enough pizza. You know what happened? I saw somebody tweeting about this. I honestly did not even realize it was about this story until just now.
That's half the millennials' diet, first of all.
Well, but see, it's changing them.
Maybe not Papa John's.
You can now order other things than just pizza.
That's true.
If I want food brought to me, there have been billboards around the Olathe area, at least that I've seen.
Uber
and
Eats.
Actually in downtown. Yeah, the Uber Eats and McDonald's have now teamed up. Now, I swear right now, own grave, sure, kill me if they do this, please. If I ever order Uber Eats to bring me McDonald's, please do kill me immediately. Or actually, just let heart disease do it. It'll get there soon enough, I guess.
Yeah,
same thing.
Right, you, McDonald's,
it's
whatever.
The opposite of an ambulance.
Yeah,
if
that's right.
It brings you bad things.
Right.
If you can't get off your lazy butt and go to McDonald's,
to spend
drive
your
through,
on a McChicken.
Where I guess you just literally have to get up to go to your car and then sit down the whole time.
That's right. Now listen, if I ever order Taco Bell, if I order Taco Bell brought to my house, then
which by the way, did you get your free Locos Taco today?
What? No.
Yeah, they have free Locos Tacos today because of the steal the base thing.
Wow.
I saw that and I was
exciting.
Just like, well, I haven't been to Taco Bell in a while. Sure, I'll do that.
Which kind of Locos Tacos did you get?
Cool Ranch. Of course.
I'm not a huge fan of Cool Ranch Doritos.
I love Cool Ranch.
I'm just not a fan of the idea of a loco taco. It kind of upsets me.
I mean, it's not great. I'm a little concerned for my digestive system later, but, you know, that's just Taco Bell, right? Mark that.
I didn't hear it, but I'm sure it was good. Also, I wanted to just throw one thing out here.
Sure.
Let's not forget the fact that the reason Papa John's pizza sales probably got hurt is because they make bad pizza.
It's a great point. Also, if they don't want to be the official pizza sponsor of the NFL anymore, if that's what they think is happening, then they can give it up. And I'm sure that Pizza Hut and Domino's would be all over that. By the way, okay, really quick, around the room here, three of us. Best, like fast food delivery pizza chain. Beards.
Fast food delivery pizza. I usually just go with Pizza Hut.
That's usually what I go with, too.
Guys, the answer is Domino's. You guys both
Domino's is good. Domino's is better than Easton.
Domino's has stepped it up, though.
Yeah, they got that garlicky crust.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's good stuff.
God, I love this sports show.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Read that sub thing again.
Gortat tweets wall with torture ball for 48 minutes.
Yeah, sorry, that was the roadblock
wall
that I hit.
Wall with torture ball, okay.
With Joshua Briscoe.
48 minutes of ball torture, man. We were all thinking it.
I don't want to do it.
I don't know if
anymore.
I was, but.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back.
Is that Beard's best joke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's Beard's best show moment. Yours is, I'm dead serious. Yours is the sweet tea story.
Sweet tea, of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I know you weren't trying to have be a hilarious story, but truly
it
was.
Just, my delivery just made it so good, I guess.
It was the best.
Too much.
Whoa. Way too much.
Whoa.
Way
too much.
Whoa.
Way too much. It was really, it was like listening to Dave Chappelle tell a joke. It was perfect. It was the comedic timing of it all was absolutely stupendous.
Nice. I got a future.
Well, don't get ahead of yourself. Yeah. We all work here, Charlie. Not futures, please.
It's true. Yeah.
Please, futures. We brought a present. What does that sound? Are you crinkling something? Are you opening a Reese's cup right now? Reese's?
I wish. No. Oh, okay. I was just...
There was some wrappers in the trash can, and it made me upset because I know that that Derek of In the Know with Rudy Salazar today was in here, I guess filling in for Rudy.
Yeah.
And he was, I guess, eating chocolate during the show, which is something that I wish I was doing. Not during the show, during commercial breaks. I'm not an animal.
That's gross.
Man, I just... All right, we're in. So the second biggest story of the day that I wanted to talk about was actually about the Chiefs' run defense. And I can't believe it took us this long to get here, but it did, so we're here now.
We mentioned it a little bit earlier with Dee Ford, but yeah.
A little bit, but so the Chiefs have been obviously getting whipped in the ground game, and they're going to not be facing Ezekiel Elliott on Sunday, as far as we know. Don't smirk at me whenever I have to use the cough button to burp, Charlie.
The burp came through the mic, even though you pressed
through your mic. Through your mic,
it might have. Yeah.
Well, listen, man, I tried to. I did my best.
Yeah.
Unless you have ever sat and talked for two straight hours into a live microphone, you're not allowed to judge me on this one. I know that's like saying you've got to put your hand in the dirt. I'm not saying that you have to have done this to criticize bad radio. You can totally criticize bad radio without being a host of a radio show. That's totally fair criticism. But you cannot tell me that it is like that if I cough or burp or yawn or something while doing the show, that is something that I've committed some cardinal sin. Because weird things happen to your body when you have to talk for 2 hours, man. There's weird like airflow stuff with your lungs and everything.
Josh, it's okay.
I'm defensive about it. And not only am I attacking you now, I'm attacking everyone around me. Anyone listening right now, listen, you can criticize the quality of this show all you want. Don't you dare criticize me because I talked for long enough. Eventually, I had to use the cough button to cover up a little burp.
Don't you dare criticize his bowel movements. That's basically what came out as.
No.
Don't criticize my passing gas and burping gas.
No,
that's what it sounded
all.
Like.
I don't think we mentioned bowel movements.
Pooping.
I know.
I don't think we mentioned
bowel movements.
I was
throwing extra stuff in there just for effect.
Or flatulence. We never mentioned that. We mentioned mouth and stomach noises.
And flatulence would have been a better way to go than what you went for just there, Beards.
I went to the extreme case.
Yeah, don't judge me coughing or having explosive diarrhea into the mic, guys. It's not fair. That's what you just did. It's not what we're talking about.
I know, but it's funnier.
No, it's not. It's wronger.
Wronger?
Wronger.
Okay. You know what's wronger? The Chiefs' front defense.
Thanks, Charlie. And we're back. Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. We're back here in the sports show. Listen, we've been talking about the Chiefs' run defense for a while, and after the Steelers game, I had an official theory, because it was the first time that really it had been an obvious weakness to the point of it wasn't working until you got to the red zone in any way whatsoever. Because leading up to that game, the Chiefs, every week up to the Steelers game, had faced mostly pass-heavy teams, I think it's fair to say. Teams with stronger passing attacks than running attacks, maybe with the exception of the Chargers game, but you got Brady and Wentz and Rivers and Kirk Cousins and Deshaun Watson. Those are all instances where the Chiefs are doing a whole lot of dropping eight guys and then running pretty light packages, running nickel and dime, five and six cornerback sets defensively. Well, against the Steelers, the Chiefs are doing that to try to limit Roethlisberger, I suppose, but they were for the first time facing a truly elite running back. Honorable mention to Melvin Gordon, who I always want to call Melvin Ingram, because they're both named Melvin and play on the same team, in case you weren't sure why I do that. But it didn't work there. And my theorizing was that the Chiefs were doing too much defensive back work, not enough guys out on the field to stop the run, because in large part, you kind of have to pick your poison. You have to let your talent carry one side of it, and you've got to have your personnel try to overcome the weaknesses. Well, the Chiefs, especially now that Steven Nelson is back, I think the Chiefs are better equipped to let the talent handle the passing game, and they're going to need the personnel to get in on the running game more, but they've been going the exact opposite direction. I say all of this to say that my speculation has been validated by more well-educated people. My speculation was the Chiefs were running too many light packages. They were doing too much Daniel Sorensen in the box whenever Rumi Quilson is a healthy scratch. Whenever you could have Reggie Ragland and Rumi Quilson in the middle of that defense, instead you've got Daniel Sorensen playing a safety linebacker hybrid. It doesn't really work whenever you're trying to stop Le'Veon Bell. So this started yesterday or 2 days ago with Brian Baldinger. I guess it was yesterday. It had to be yesterday. So the Chiefs are willing to play dime defense on first and 10. Your defensive tackles had better be unblockable. And that's what the Chiefs are doing here. He tweeted out a little video of the Chiefs with five corners on the field on first and 10. So CJ Anderson ran the ball for like 6 yards. This has been my theory since the Steelers game. The Chiefs love going small to defend in the pass game, but it gets your butt kicked in the run. Seth Kaiser tweeted today, after watching a ton of defensive snaps, the only players I'd say are consistently good run defenders are Houston and Benny Logan. Matt Verderam quote tweeted that and said, totally agree. You want to at least get better against the run? Stop the 2-4-5 nonsense. Two down linemen, four linebackers, five cornerbacks and safeties, defensive backs, I should say. And go to a big nickel 3-3-5. Get Sorensen out of the box. The Chiefs spend a ton of time with two down linemen, and then you've got Houston and Ford, Houston and Zombo, trying to hold those edges as sort of faux defensive linemen, also kind of faux linebackers, because I don't think of Frank Zombo as a run stuffer in any way whatsoever. Just, I guess, compared to D Ford, I do a little bit. But that's one thing that the Chiefs have really been struggling with, is going with two down linemen, four linebackers, five guys in the defensive backfield. And it's no surprise at all that your two defensive linemen get blown off the ball, that then the offensive line gets to the second level and starts blocking linebackers. All of a sudden, you've got your five guys in the secondary, Daniel Sorensen, Ron Parker, having to make those tackles. It just doesn't work. So I think we've identified a big part of the problem. I guess now my question is, will Bob Sutton change it all? And I like to think that he will adapt to some extent, probably not as much as we think. But Charlie, you were out of practice today. I know this has been a huge topic of conversation.
Just going on that, it seemed like they ran mostly nickel and dime formations against the Broncos. And
I think they run a higher percentage of nickel than any other team in the league. I think that stat was from a week or two ago, but I'm guessing that hasn't changed.
My question, do you think they're forced to run nickel and dime because of the Eric Berry being out, or they're kind of changing parts and safety and their secondary kind of being up in the air a little bit here and there?
So this rolls into my next theory, actually, that the run defense may get better, should get better, with the addition of Steven Nelson.
Yes, absolutely.
Because Philip Gaines was obviously in the slot a liability defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Nelson is not that. I've been a huge proponent of Steven Nelson since we saw him improve throughout last season. So I was probably more optimistic about his return than anybody else I had heard, frankly. And I stay with that. Not only is he better than Philip Gaines, I think he's better than a replacement level slot corner. But so without the liability of Philip Gaines there, then Steven Nelson is able to hold his own ground, and you don't have to help out that slot spot so often. Now, Kenneth Acker / Terrence Mitchell, as that fluctuation continues to exist, I guess, which is really bizarre to me still. I don't have a good theory on that one yet. But let's say that Terrence Mitchell comes back next week, who is simply a better corner than Kenneth Acker. You have a Mitchell, Nelson, Peters set of defensive backs. You can just have your single high safety if you wish, and you can just have Ron Parker out there. You're getting Daniel Sorensen and Eric Murray out of this conversation for a little bit. You're running with those four defensive backs if you want, and if you want to really let your guys be tested one-on-one and you really get some pressure from your front seven, which is, again, that's sort of the traditional defensive setup in a lot of ways, but the NFL has gone away from that, where you are always running nickel. The difference then becomes, well, who's the other safety? Who's the guy, if you want to have those three defensive backs, those three corners, I guess I should say, and then a guy like and then obviously you have Ron Parker, then is it Sorensen or is it Eric Murray? Are you going for speed and coverage, or are you going for a guy who's playing kind of a linebacker hybrid? I think now you demand less help to go with Steven Nelson. You give yourself a little more personnel flexibility. So at least on first and 10, you're making the defense challenge you through the air as opposed to picking up seven on the ground every time, because you're saying, you know what, bleep it. Let's go ahead and let Peters and Mitchell and Nelson just go head-to-head with their guys, not with these huge cushions and not with the ability to get beat over the top as often as Phil Gaines was. And then you've got actual down linemen. You have actual inside linebackers. You have an actual linebacking core in general that can go get the quarterback or can deal with that run pressure that comes up the middle so often on this team. I continue to think that this team doesn't have a huge personnel problem on the defensive line. They have a lot of talent there that I actually buy into. But whenever you have two down defensive linemen, you can pick any two defensive linemen in the history of football. You can put Ndamukong Suh beside Benny Logan if you want. I know that's not, you know, the first two picks in the all-time defensive tackle draft. But you could bring in Ndamukong Suh on this team, put him next to Benny Logan with two down linemen, and they're going to get pushed off the ball. So I think Steven Nelson gives you more flexibility because you're not doing so much work covering up for Phillip Gaines. But I'm also a little bit concerned that Bob Sutton just goes, nope, this is our plan now because it's the NFL. We're gonna deal with the passing game first.
So you think they'll be able to load the box a little bit more and more and more base formations?
I would think that's what I would be interested in.
At least that's what you're hoping.
Yes, that's what I would be doing. Now, listen, and you have some more flexibility built in with Justin Houston because he is so quick on his decisions. He's so fantastic at being able to shuck a blocker if there is a run play towards him or to go get the quarterback if it ends up being a play action. Yes, he has been so good at that throughout his entire career that I would say that on the right side of your defense with Marcus Peters and Justin Houston over there, the offenses should look to their left a tremendously small percentage of the time because you've got stone walls over there. So I would think that this defense would be better equipped to handle some of these things, but they're spending so much time with two down linemen that you could at least, I think you could at least look at these personnel packages and get yourself, if nothing else, a third down lineman on first and 10. And then you're giving guys, and then maybe it's less D Ford. Maybe on first and 10, you're not bothering to put out D Ford. And this week they might not have him at all.
Right. Yeah.
But if you're going to go to the 3-3-5 setup, which is at least the most conventional thing in a NFL that very often runs with two safeties and three corners. So it's Parker and Murray back there with Mitchell and Nelson and Peters. So then in that 3-3, you've got Logan in the middle, you got Chris Jones and Alan Bailey, and then behind him, maybe you have Ramiq Wilson, who's been a healthy scratch, I think 3 or 4 weeks in a row now. Maybe you have Wilson brought back with Reggie Ragland and Justin Houston, or it's Ragland and DJ in Houston. Those are three guys who I trust to stop the run, even as we see Derek Johnson slow down a little bit. You give me Derek Johnson flanked by Ragland in Houston, where they're kind of playing with like two inside linebackers in Houston doing his own thing. It at least gives you some different looks that you can throw at a defense that if you're running a 2-3-5, a 2-4-5 setup, they're just going to run over if it's Daniel Sorensen or Kevin Pierre-Louis or D Ford or Frank Zombo. They're going to find the weakest parts of that defense and run right over it. They've been doing that for weeks now. So I think there is a fix here. I think that the speculation being proven true over the last couple of days as the deep dive film people go in and come out with this as the jewel that they found of, oh yeah, they're running a whole lot of these light packages. They're running with two down linemen very, very often. I find this as the problem. Then it becomes on Bob Sutton to fix it, because you can't expect any two defensive linemen in football to hold an offensive line on their own. It's never going to work.
And they're
going
to need to fix it pretty quick, because they're going against the Cowboys, and I know Zeke might not play.
Yes.
Or he might. We probably won't know until 11, or I guess 3 o'clock on Sunday.
Jokes aside, I think we literally might not know until Saturday.
Right, right.
I think that there was something about an injunction on Saturday.
But with the Cowboys offensive line being so good,
yep,
arguably the best in the league, still, like we were saying that years ago, and they're still,
yep,
still up there, highest paid at least.
Yep.
It doesn't matter who's running the ball, no, almost. I mean, Zeke is obviously one of the best.
Zeke is just hitting his strides. So I think it does really matter that he is not playing in this game. If he is, it will look a lot like the Steelers game.
But the formations that they were running against the Broncos, the Cowboys' offensive line is going to dominate.
Yes. Yes.
Our defense, if we continue to run that
100%, against them. 100%.
Yeah. 100%.
So that's why any running back of value, running back of value will be able to capitalize, excuse me, on this sort of defensive setup. And Albert Wilson as running back would probably have some success against this defense. Alfred Morris. I don't know why I wanted to call him Albert Wilson so bad. We'll be able to find some gaps here because it's a complete mismatch.
With the veteran Darren McFadden, too.
I'm not as worried about Darren McFadden.
Yeah, no.
Alfred Morris is a guy that I've seen be an actual NFL running back more recently. But a running back by committee, whatever, they're going to find plenty of creases because a Dallas Cowboys offensive line going up against two down linemen and then a bunch of linebackers and pseudo linebackers and all of these sort of like these flex players defensively. They are all going to be dealing with the best in the business opposite them with this Cowboys offensive line. So that does worry me in a huge way. Also, it's a little bit game preview-y, but something I'm keeping an eye on now that I'm already worrying about is the pass rush getting to Dak Prescott. I think the secondary is going to be just fine in this game. I think now we can talk about Marcus Peters in a second. Actually, we will talk about Marcus Peters in a second. But I think the secondary is going to hold up pretty well in this game. But if Dak Prescott has enough time, you're always going the quarterback. Any decent quarterback is going to beat even a very good secondary if he has plenty of time. The offense knows the plays. And receivers are going to make space eventually, unless they're hugely overmatched. These are not hugely overmatched receivers. Eventually, they'll make plays. But if there's no D Ford, a guy who's been getting meager pressure anyway, I'm concerned about how the Chiefs are going to manufacture pressure against Dak Prescott this week. Because Frank Zombo's not going to do it. Some of the best pressure they got last week was whenever D Ford and Justin Houston were lined up on the same side. They ran that at least once, and it was phenomenal to watch. They both just folded in, I guess, what would have been... I'm trying to look at the play. I feel like they were actually both lined up against the left tackle and left guard, which it would be Houston being one flipping sides there. Don't quote me on that, but whatever it was, they folded that side of the offensive line like a gate, and they just folded right into Trevor Siemian, who threw it to nowhere. By the way, the Chiefs have killed Trevor Siemian. Brock Osweiler starting this week. So the Chiefs keep giving Brock Osweiler more snaps as the Broncos quarterback. For the second time now, the Broncos have benched their quarterback to give Brock Osweiler more time. So good job on that one, everybody.
Siemian just got confused on which players were his, I guess.
He just threw it into the ground.
Yeah.
But it was the pocket, the offensive line folded it on him. Mm-hmm. If you get some of that, then I'm game to say that this team is an actual Super Bowl contender.
Which is another reason to load the box a little bit more.
Yes, the Chiefs have been, man, they've been dropping eight so often this year. I don't know if I've ever seen that happen as often as it has with the Chiefs. And they did it to great success against Tom Brady. Tom Brady was having a little bit of trouble getting the ball through eight defensive backs, although it felt like that at some points. That's doing an injustice to the linebackers. But but eight guys kind of dropping back into coverage. Seven guys dropping back into coverage very frequently. The Chiefs have been doing a lot of that. And it should be no surprise whenever that turns into quarterbacks having all the time in the world and eventually finding their spots. Dropping eight back occasionally, it just gives you so much of a mess that quarterbacks can't even find it, but Derek Carr found it at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady found it enough times to keep you worried. Not enough times to change the course of the game. That's the fire that you play with. And I'm not super looking forward to this defense against this Cowboys offense this week. I'm hoping greatly that Ezekiel Elliott is out of here, but I think if the Chiefs play the game that they played against the Broncos on Monday night, I don't think that's enough for the game coming up on Sunday in Dallas.
Dez Bryant was also added to the injury report today. It could just be maintenance related. They're saying with the knee injury, because that's kind of what he's been dealing with the past 2 years. But he was limited in practice today. They're thinking that he's going to be able to fully practiced by the end of the week, but still, that's notable.
Also, did you see on Matt Derrick's Twitter his last tweet? No move with Tom Holley coming off pup list and returning to practice, according to today's NFL transaction report.
So no move.
This is really odd.
No move.
No move.
But he was in the facility, and so Schefter just got that one wrong.
Yeah. Schefter got something wrong.
Yeah, I guess so. Because he said he was going to practice today, also, which he obviously knew he didn't. But
you should probably fire.
Do we though? Do we?
Okay, you know what? Good point. Did you just fire Adam Schefter, Charlie?
I did, yeah.
Awesome. Whenever we come back, I want to talk about Marcus Peters.
Charlie's going power crazy.
He really has. I want to talk about Marcus Peters. There's a stat about him that's really good that we want to talk about. And then also, I want to actually see what Charlie thinks about the idea of Marcus Peters playing a little differently, not for the reasons that most people would want him to play differently, though. It's not a professionalism thing. It's a scheme thing. So talk about that whenever we come back. Also, the Chiefs, Patriots, and Steelers have some things in common. The three contenders of the AFC, the Chiefs have a 2-1 record amongst those two teams plus the Eagles. But what are the Chiefs, Patriots, and Steelers looking at going down the rest of this season? Pro Football Focus broke that down. I'm gonna go take a lap.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
What are you laughing at, Beards?
So, Ken Taylor, host of the Outdoor Guys here on ESPN Kansas City on Fridays at 3, he texted me, do you also do duck noises? I do not.
I think you probably could learn to, right?
With Joshua Briscoe.
Go ahead and give us one. Through a computer.
Go ahead and give us one really quick.
No, I can't do a duck call.
Just go ahead and try.
Here, ducky, ducky, ducky.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Breaking NFL news. The commissioner has notified Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon that he will be reinstated to the NFL on a conditional basis. The earliest he can play, I believe I saw, was week 13, which I think is November 27th, I think is the first day he could be back. Currently still a member of the Cleveland Browns, and the trade deadline just went by. But I would love for the Browns to release Josh Gordon under some supposition that he's a cancer or whatever. And I would love for the Chiefs to bring Josh Gordon to Kansas City. I would simply love it.
Awesome.
He hasn't been in the league for a really long time. He hasn't had a good year in a really long time. He hasn't been on the field in a really long time. I get it.
I have more breaking news. Josh Gordon suspended.
That's good.
I understand the fear with him.
You mean like that right there?
Yes, I understand the fear
like
with
going
him.
On first take and saying, I'm clean, I promise, and the next day being suspended again.
I get it. What would it cost the Chiefs to bring Josh Gordon in?
Money, that's what it would cost.
Like the veteran minimum.
That's money.
Yeah, but they also paid money to like... They're still paying money to Cairo Santos. I don't think there's not a lot of cap space. I know that there's a risk-reward thing. This is a great risk-reward proposition. If he is a shell of who he was whenever he was out here breaking NFL records in like a half a season, if he's half of that guy, he's the second best receiver on this team right now.
You want to know how many games he's played since the end of the 2013 season?
Like
five.
Okay, it was a very, very few. Yeah, no, I know. I'm fully aware of that. It's a risk that I would like to see them take. Because the risk is small. I'm not saying that they should have, if this was still before the trade deadline, I'm not saying, give the Browns a first-round pick for Josh Gordon. No. The only way that it would even be an option is if the Browns released him. And if the Browns released him, and he wanted to get back into the league on a one-year deal, he could sign a deal that would take him to the end of the season for whatever, however that would work out math-wise. I would absolutely give that to Josh Gordon and say, all right, hey, you want a big contract next year? Come prove it. Come prove that you are not only not filled with things that are illegal in the NFL, but that you can play again. And then if he looks like Josh Gordon, he'll get a huge contract somewhere else. But he has to get on the field. The Chiefs would be a great place for Josh Gordon to come prove that he can still play. So I want that. And if it doesn't work out, if he comes back and he looks like a 1,000-year-old man, all right, it cost you very, very little. It cost you some practice,
or
naps,
when he gets
and some
suspended
change.
Again.
And if that's the case, it costs the Chiefs literally nothing, because they don't have to pay him while he's suspended, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Wouldn't make any sense.
That's correct. Yeah.
So that is a risk that I would be very happy to see the Chiefs make. It's a conditional basis. I'm still trying to figure out what the...
I got the statement
right
here.
I'm looking at the statement right now. Does it say what a conditional basis means? He can join the Browns to attend meetings, engage in conditional workout and all individual workouts. Mm-hmm. Subject to compliance with clinical and other requirements, will be placed on the commissioner's exempt list and will be permitted to practice with the team beginning on Monday, November 20th. Beginning on November 27th, another Monday, he will be eligible at the team's discretion to return to active status or remain on the commissioner's exempt list for an additional week before returning to active status.
Quote, whether that happens, however, at the end of the day will depend on Josh. His commitment to sobriety and to reaching his goals in football and beyond will determine his success. It is ultimately up to him. I don't know if you want to leave it up to him, but I get what he's saying.
Well, also, like, this is a story that we have. I feel like strangely hasn't gotten enough coverage. He's been basically out of the league for 4 years now for weed.
Is it really?
And alcohol.
4 years now.
And jeez. Alcohol.
Which is legal.
Yeah.
And weed, which
but
is
not
becoming
for him.
More legal.
But not for him, though.
Was that a legal thing or an NFL rule saying you can't drink?
Let's see. In January 2015, Gordon faced another year-long suspension due to testing positive for alcohol use.
Okay, so that's an NFL
thing. Yes, that is a him thing.
But the NFL thing, though. An NFL and
yes.
put-in thing. Yeah. Listen, I know that there are bunches of people who just, like, cannot drink or do drugs of any sort.
Driving while impaired.
That's no good. That's a reasonable
suspension. Yeah, you can't do that.
But
multiple times, I think.
It's kind of weird to me that he has been essentially... He's been knocked out of the league in year-long chunks for these offenses whenever, you know, we're still not sure if Ezekiel Elliott is playing. And obviously, like, this started before the Ray Rice stuff.
Like, Ray Rice got suspended for, what was it, 45 minutes originally? Before eventually just being cut and then run out of the league? It's just, it's another example of the NFL having some weird moral compasses. I hope he's clean. I hope he's back. I hope that he would be open to coming to a new place. I hope the Browns are done with him. Again, it's a risk that I would be very happy to see the Chiefs make.
How has Zeke's suspension been pushed back so long? But Josh, I know he was multiple defender.
He just sort of took it, I guess.
How his was never pushed back or delayed or anything like that. I mean, maybe they figured more out with Zeke or the NFLPA kind of tried harder, I guess.
It was after the Brady stuff also, yeah, so they sort of saw a gap in the armor. Sports Pickle says that Josh Gordon, the condition here is that Josh Gordon is not allowed to play in the NFL. He's only allowed to play for the Browns. The joke is that the Browns are not an NFL team. So maybe that's the condition. I want to talk about Marcus Peters a little bit here. There's a stat that Nick Jacobs put out on Twitter saying that since joining the NFL in 2015, Marcus Peters has the most takeaways in the league with 21 in that time span. The obvious follow-up question for me is how many takeaways would he have if he really wanted to be in Kansas City and if he just acted like an actual professional and not a child? He would probably have 50 forced turnovers. He would be taking the ball. He would be basically playing with Inspector Gadget arms or like Doc Ock arms. He's just reaching around, just taking the ball because he really wants to be in Kansas City and he acts like a professional.
I'm just so tired of his off the field antics. I can't.
Did you see that he bought shoes for that kid?
I know.
What a trash bag Marcus Peters is buying shoes for children.
I know. He's definitely not worth it, right? We should probably trade him.
He's basically Santa. Yeah. Marcus Peters is basically Santa.
We should trade him, right? I mean, that's the only logical thing. Oh, just cut him?
Just
okay,
cut him.
Yeah.
Cut him in his 21 forced turnovers.
We don't want to get any value from him.
No.
So, yeah,
no,
no,
cut
yeah.
him. Mm-hmm. Cut him and let him go to Oakland where he wants to be. Let him go play with Marshawn Lynch.
So Marshawn Lynch doesn't have to run off the opposite sideline to defend him.
Yeah.
Man, I can't believe he did that.
I love Marcus Peters, and I've always loved Marcus Peters. And there was somebody today who tweeted yesterday.
Is he the best corner in the league?
He's in a conversation with a bunch of There's a bunch of really good young talented corners. He's in that conversation though. There was a guy who tweeted yesterday. Yesterday, he tweeted that that he wants Marcus Peters traded because he's just his like antics aren't worth it. And I cannot, we're doing this after the Monday Night Football game where he scored as many points as the Chiefs offense did.
Yeah.
Marcus Peters on Monday night scored as many points as the Chiefs offense. He had one touchdown. The Chiefs offense had one touchdown
and arguably played better than the Chiefs offense. If you count the interception versus Chiefs offense did.
Tyreek Hill's one attempt at being a quarterback.
Not that interception. But
yeah,
that interception.
No, Tyreek Hill has more interceptions than Alex Smith.
It's a great. Yes, it's great. Also, anyway, I just wanted to pull that out. That set out.
That was so stupid.
Marcus Peters. We can come back to that. Because one other thing with Marcus Peters that I actually wanted to sort of test the waters on.
Charlie's just beside himself.
They interviewed AJ McCarron at Bengals practice today, and he's wearing a big dopey hat, which I admire. And then just like, man, what is it like being AJ McCarron today? Like, you dodged a bullet, I guess. But the thing that I've started wondering that I really don't have an answer to that I guess if you, are you going to be out whenever Bob Sutton is out at Arrowhead?
Tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
Well, no. Yeah, it is tomorrow.
Are you out there for that?
I wasn't planning on it, but maybe.
Okay, well, so here's the thing that I'm wondering. I'm sure he's talked about this at some other point, but I'd like an updated piece of reasoning as to why Marcus Peters doesn't follow the team's best receiver. I don't know if it's a Bob Sutton scheme thing. Or if it's trying to protect Marcus Peters and say, listen, he's been at this side as often as he has been. He is simply better playing on the right side of the field. And so we don't ever challenge him to move the other side.
Has nobody asked that?
I'm sure it's been asked at some point, but I don't think it has been asked this year.
Or he hasn't had a good enough answer to warrant.
Well, any answer would be valuable to me because I'm curious as to why he is sticking with that. If it's for the sake of Marcus Peters, if Bob Sutton says, you know what, Marcus is really comfortable on that side of the field, so we keep him there. You know what, that's fine. If he's literally shutting out whoever shows up on that side, so be it. But on Monday night, Demaryius Thomas was constantly lined up on the other side of the field, so he didn't have to deal with Marcus Peters. I can't remember exactly what the graphic showed. I don't remember if it was all routes run or if it was just attempts to Demaryius Thomas. But at least for attempts to Demaryius Thomas, he was not targeted on Marcus Peters' side of the field. Every one of his targets came from the opposite side. From, I guess, the left side of the offense, right? No. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
I think I said, I got it flipped around a second ago. Houston and Peters play up against the right side of the offense because they're going up against the right tackle.
Correct.
And outside corner. So all of Thomas's stuff would have come from the left side of the offense. There we go. Anyway, whenever you're going now, you're dealing with the Cowboys, and it made a lot of sense on Monday night also. The Broncos had exactly one receiving option because Emmanuel Sanders wasn't back and everybody else was a tight end or some other scrub. Playing the Cowboys this week, I guess I can, you know, pull up the depth chart and find like Lucky Whitehead or whatever, which is an actual human being, which is kind of hilarious. But Dez Bryant is the singular guy that you're worried about in that passing game. I know he hasn't even been great this year, but he's the guy that has the ability to terrify you. When your other options, I guess, like Terrence Williams. Hey, listen, if Terrence Williams beats Terrence Mitchell a few times, so be it. But if Marcus Peters is capable of switching sides, and we saw him do it for one snap in the Texans game against DeAndre Hopkins, he switched for one snap and shadowed Hopkins. If he's capable of doing that, I would be totally fine with letting him do it. Because you're not going to find very many teams in the NFL where it really doesn't matter. You have to have your best guy out there. Like, against the Steelers, I don't really care that much. Because whoever it is, they're going to have their hands full. For the Broncos on Monday night, for the Cowboys coming up this weekend, I would be very happy to see Peters just shadow the guy if the reasoning against it is simply Bob Sutton's scheme. Charlie hasn't been listening.
I have.
I can see in the reflection of the glass that you're just on TweetDeck, and I saw you typing a little bit ago.
No, he totally was composing a tweet. I saw it pop up on mine.
What was it? Tweet had better been awesome, Charlie.
I was just saying I wouldn't hate for the Chiefs to pursue Josh Gordon, but no, I was listening. You were talking
about Peters. You know the difference between the tweets that Charlie and I sent out?
What's the difference? Tell me.
I sent mine out during the commercial break. And not during a segment of the show.
Just here to burn the show to the ground. I heard you mark that, Pierce. That was good.
That was intentional.
Don't you just love Wet Wild Wednesdays?
Clint tweeted me just now. Tweeted me and Pierce. This isn't a compliment. But
I gotta know which show this was from.
This is from yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah. So this is a guy who has found the show by way of the Roughing the Kicker podcast. So if you don't know, I'm guessing you do, but if you don't know, I did a podcast called Roughing the Kicker exclusively as a podcast throughout all of college and throughout college essentially. So I did that for 4 years, and built up a pretty solid following through Arrowhead Addict and everything. It is a Chiefs podcast, and people, I still upload the Chiefs-related topics and the NFL-related topics of this show to the Ref and the Kicker feed. This all has a point. Clint appears to be one of the people who now consumes the show still through the Ref and the Kicker feed. And yesterday, I was going to do a big write-up of the show, put it up on Arrowhead Addict and everything, and put it out through the feed to try to reach as many people as possible. After the show, I decided to myself, I'm just going to upload it and then let people find it if they want it. Because it was, as Clint has pointed out here, an even less coherent Roughing the Kicker podcast than usual. He said, I was in thought, and excuse me, I'm going to read this as clearly as possible so Beards can make a liner out of it later. This is the full tweet from Clint, at JB Briscoe and at Beards McFly. Congratulations on an even less coherent podcast than usual. I was enthralled by bad radio. Well played. Put that on my gravestone. Are you kidding me?
That's going to be a huge gravestone. There's already good shirt, good hat, or good shirt,
hair, good
haircut,
good watch, or something like that. Yeah.
And then
no, this is my new favorite. Congratulations on an even less coherent RTK podcast.
We need like a mausoleum for you.
Oh, yes. I want a mausoleum. I want a mausoleum that's basically like my tweet hater blanket. where it just has things that people have said about me.
On every brick inside the mausoleum is like a bad tweet or something that somebody else wrote about you. Or just one of your terrible ones.
Yes, I love it.
The statue of you is about 200 feet tall.
It's basically, I love that also. It's basically just like liner content, but on individual bricks, building up my mausoleum.
Now you're always on YouTube.
No, I'm not.
What are you doing?
I'm not on YouTube.
I see the... What are you watching in the reflection? I see your reflection of your screen.
You're talking about some dumb mausoleum. I don't... No, but they're making... I was just looking at the cast
turn off my
of
mic.
The new Beard, Lion King.
Beard, shut up. Turn off my mic, Beards. Let Charlie... Go ahead, Charlie. Do the show that you want to do.
Well, in 2019, Disney is releasing a new Lion King. I just saw that come across my Twitter feed because, you know, I just can't keep my eyes off of it. Beyonce is Nala. James Earl Jones, Mufasa. Donald Glover is Simba. John Oliver is Zazu. That's amazing, first of all. I love John Oliver. I don't know how you feel about him. And Seth Rogen is Pumbaa. That's pretty good, too. It's just a really good cast for a new Lion King. Tell you what. You said almost entirely sports, and that was the almost part.
Can I have my mic? Thank you. Wait a second. They're making it. They're remaking Lion King?
Mm-hmm. See, now you're interested.
Dude, Donald Glover as Simba is my favorite thing. Eric Andre is in this.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's quite a cast.
I don't know if I love that they're remaking Lion King.
I don't either, but...
That doesn't make any real sense, but the cast is amazing. I mean, you're right. It's Donald Glover and Beyonce. Seth Rogen and John Oliver and Eric Andre and the guy with the impronounceable name that's Black Panther. James Earl Jones is Mufasa.
He was the original
Mufasa.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Glover has a song, by the way, as Childish Gambino.
I can't.
That says the line.
Who's Scar? I don't recognize that guy. I can't pronounce
that's,
his name.
That's
either.
The guy. He's playing back Black Panther.
Edgeafor
or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's I think he was nominated for an Oscar recently. He's playing Black Panther. That's when he will like blow up large scale. I was gonna inform you that Childish Gambino has a lyric. So why is you lying? Why you Mufasa? And it's really funny. It's really good. It was Mikasa Tsukasa. Got a strip of like Gaza. Got so high off volcanoes, yet the flow is so lava. It comes. It's all. It's funny now. There's a little Donald Glover Lion King connection.
Was it funny?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay.
It's better than you not paying any attention to the damn show.
Mm, yeah.
Wow, this is amazing. I don't know if I wanted this or not, but the cast list is amazing.
Beards, how do you feel about it?
I'm intrigued.
But why?
Why not?
Why would you remake Lion King, though?
Because money!
That's a good point.
We haven't talked about Game 7 happening tonight at all.
And we're not gonna!
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You know when you get like kind of those wobbly legs getting off of a roller coaster?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just kind of like, oh man, like I'm shaking, but I don't really know why. Like I wasn't actually afraid, but I'm like, the adrenaline is just too much. That's where I am right now, is I'm just kind of like, I'm just kind of like trying to stand up and like wobbling off of this roller coaster.
Wet and Wild Wednesdays.
Because of Wet and Wild Wednesdays. Whoa, way too much.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Beards allowed Charlie to pick the last song of the day.
My goodness. There we go.
So Charlie picked a Fish song.
Yes. I enjoy the band Fish. Beards did not know that it's spelled with PH.
Nope.
It's a damn shame.
Never heard of him either.
Gosh.
Charlie on Twitter.
Did you know that this song was actually played in the Super Bowl when the Falcons were coming out of the tunnel?
So it's cursed is what you're saying.
Why would I know that?
I heard it on TV and I was just like, are they seriously playing Fish on a national Super Bowl broadcast right now? That's crazy and cool.
It felt like a reprise.
A reprise of
are
the
really,
T-Story.
Wow, are they really playing Fish in the Super Bowl? And wow, that's crazy. Charlie, not that Charlie, on Twitter said you're going to need to have a bigger gravestone for all this material because they're expensive. We got a lot of material. So, yeah, we're building the mausoleum. There's a GoFundMe right now. You can just search GoFundMe. GoFundMe, JB Briscoe Mausoleum.
Josh is just going to have a whole graveyard to himself, pretty much.
That's also fair.
Yeah.
And Charlie has said also that he's on board with our transitions to and from break. And I was telling Charlie and Beards during the commercial that this might be me not doing my job, and I'm accidentally saying that I think Beards does a good job with his job. So I know this is out of character for me, but I think the two things that we definitely do well on this show are the liners back from breaks, which are mostly me saying dumb things. I guess I get an assist on that, but Beards is doing all of the conducting on that.
And whenever it's wet and wild, wacky Wednesday, I just get reminded of the dumb things I said. So,
right,
you know.
Which is perfectly right on board with how Lebatard does it with the Tuesday Greg Cody shows. Most of the liners back are about things that Greg Cody has said. It's fantastic. And like next week, we're going to have a whole new palette of delicious things that we've gotten from this show as liner material next week. Because this show, I feel like, has been pretty busy. But also, the way we went to break last segment made me so happy. It just was perfect.
What are you going to do next week with the Chiefs? I guess you can break down the Dallas game, but Chiefs having bye the next week, right?
Yeah, I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't. If you want to come in on Friday also, that'd be fine.
Okay.
That might be too much. I mean, way too much, Charlie. That might be way too much, Charlie. How do we not have that saved as something we can play out of the system in any
I was just thinking the same thing. I will work on it after the show.
Right. I don't expect you to have it in the next 5 minutes or whatever. It's okay. But yeah, that feels like it might be way too much, Charlie. But it's hilarious. I actually am probably going to go out of my way to watch Game 7 tonight. I like Game 7s, and I mean, kind of like baseball.
I'll be going to watch somewhere.
It's the best two words in sports, Game 7, as everybody says.
Somebody tweeted that. I think Whit Merrifield tweeted that. I think Brooks Pounders tweeted that it's the best two words in sports. And Whit Merrifield retweeted it and said, actually, the best two words in sports are Brooks Pounders, which is funny. Jake Butt is good. You're going to go watch the game somewhere, Beards?
Yeah, probably.
Look at that. Beards watching baseball?
Beards
watching baseball.
I'll watch baseball.
But so this is actually what's kind of weird. I feel like, what's your second favorite sport?
Probably football.
Okay, well then bleep me, I guess. So much for my little...
Because his first one's like, what, cricket, right?
Yeah. No, but it sort of makes sense.
Water
that Beards,
polo.
It sort of makes sense... I'm going to leave that one right there. It sort of makes sense that Beards would... like baseball more than you would expect.
I don't know why. Royals more than the Chiefs, though. It's weird.
What?
That's fine. The interesting thing is I screwed up yesterday. Tony Kornheiser was dressed up as... Who was he dressed up as? I already forgot.
Turner. Justin Turner.
He was dressed up as Turner for Halloween.
Who was Wilbon? I couldn't tell.
Cam Newton. We couldn't tell either. It was difficult.
Okay.
He was just being a post-game Cam Newton. I think Wilbon just wanted to bleach his goatee and wear a hat and glasses for a show.
It wasn't a great costume.
It was a great outfit.
Yes.
Not a great recognizable costume, though.
Exactly.
He needed to have, like, a little thought bubble over his head. It's like, why are these women talking to me?
Or he needed,
football?
Like, a towel that he could drape over his head, too.
Yeah, right. That would have been good.
That would have been funny.
Nothing's worse than, like, going all in on a Halloween costume, and then like if you go to a party or something, people constantly asking
know.
You what you
I,
are.
I think slavery was worse.
Wow.
I was getting
almost
I
entirely
gonna
too much there.
I wasn't gonna laugh, but I heard Beards absolutely cackling through this like bulletproof glass. Like the glass we have here
I was not expecting that.
The glass we have here is like submarine quality glass. Like you could take this underwater and it wouldn't let any sound through. But I could hear
the roof would though.
I could hear Beards cackle. Yeah, so I think some things are worse than putting in a bunch of work on a Halloween costume and not have anybody figure out what you were being. I don't think it's the worst thing that's ever happened.
It's the worst. Absolute worst.
Holocaust?
My stomach hurts now from laughing.
Can't
hey,
stop.
Beards, put it on the poll. What's worse? Who is right? Charlie saying that that putting a
nothing
bunch of work into
worse.
A Halloween costume is worse than slavery, or Josh taking the opposite perspective?
I'll let you do that one. I'll let your name be associated with that poll. I'm good.
Fine, I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get it up before the show ends.
Please do not. Oh, gosh. I don't know what the poll choices you're gonna choose here.
I don't know either.
Based on the two,
it's
that,
gonna, the
based
problem
on the
is
two,
gonna go out of context for sure.
Yeah. Based on the two obvious worse things than that you said on the air in the show, I'm very scared for what your poll answers are going to be.
Also, I feel like Charlie, you saying that, like, you had a time when you put in a lot of work into a Halloween costume and then people didn't get it.
No, I just, not that I can remember really, but I just know that it sucks when people, I was talking to somebody last night that had that situation and they said, I'm really annoyed with doing that. And I'm just like, well, maybe you should put more time in your costume. No, I didn't really say that, but.
You there just, in your friend's jumpsuit and fuzzy pink handcuffs.
Yep. I was telling people I just escaped. It's good stuff.
Poll. Is Charlie Carlin right? Is there nothing worse than putting a lot of work into a Halloween costume and then nobody getting it? The options are yes and no, slavery was worse.
Oh, I hope people vote yes.
No, then you can't do that. Really, if I wanted to put this out with every bit of snark, I would put yes, it's worse than slavery, and then no, slavery was worse. And you have to vote yes, that's worse than slavery, the Holocaust. It's worse than Trevor Simeon. Oof, boy, power rankings, the worst possible thing. Slavery, Holocaust, Trevor Simeon, and then putting a bunch of work in a Halloween costume and nobody getting it. I don't even know how you rank those four.
I don't know either.
You know what? I'll say definitively. Trevor Simeon is second on that list.
Which one's the fifth one, the one that's left out?
What's another terrible thing that's not that terrible? Oh, Marcus Peters' attitude as he gets 22 turnovers in his career as chief. That might be number one.
You're obnoxious.
Beards, good job today. Charlie, good job today. Me, yep. Fantastic work. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.